This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It is the Fan Evening Show. I am Jack Hillgrove, taking you up until 10:35. Island Contracting Nightly Sports Call. Tonight it's Malzy and Richie Walsh. It'll be simulcast here on The Fan. We're taking you up until then. We were joined by Alex Stumpf talking Pirates in the 7 o'clock hour. We now head back out to the Fan Hotline and find our good buddy, Nick Faribault. PennLive.com covers the Steelers. Nick, it's been a while, my friend. How goes it? How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well, Jack. I'm doing well. You know, it's kind of our dead period here in the NFL season. I'm chilling. I'm laying back a little more nowadays than I was, obviously, in lead up to the draft. But doing well, man. Hope you are as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I watched the Pirates lose today, but other than that, I would probably consider myself doing pretty darn well as well. So let's hop right into it. Obviously, the Steelers on the heels of the 2025 NFL draft. I was on Sunday morning and had your colleague Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette on, and I asked about the grade that he would give the Pittsburgh Steelers draft in 2025. So I will ask for your perspective as well. If you had to give Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and company a letter grade for the 2025 draft class right now, and obviously that could change as these guys develop as Steelers, but how would you grade the Steelers draft as we sit here on May 1st?
Yeah, I gave them a B when I wrote that article the day after the draft. I really love their first two picks. I'm a big fan of Derek Carmen and Caleb Johnson. I think their day three is a mixed bag. I'm not a huge fan of the Jack Sawyer pick. Y.A. Black, I think, is fine. He's a rotational nose. Love the Will Howard pick. I think that's great. And then the two seventh rounders, you know, were fine. But I thought it was a solid B. You know, I think what they did this offseason was clearly to show that they wanted to stop the run. And certainly they did in the draft. I mean, adding, you know, guys like Sawyer, Black, and Harmon showcases that. I think they had an identity to do it. I think they got really good value in their first two picks. So I really liked the haul they got. And I think they got some of their better fits overall in terms of the personnel they actually acquired. So I still was a solid draft for Omar Khan and Andy Weidel. I don't think, Mike Tomlin in there. It was as value heavy as it was in 23 and 24. There were some value picks I thought that were really standing out, like Will Howard. I thought Caleb Johnson also was great value. But I thought it really fit what they needed and what the response was to what happened in Baltimore. So I liked this draft for the Steelers. I didn't love it. I would have liked to have seen them attack slot corner a little earlier. Wouldn't have minded them dipping into the wide receiver pool a little earlier. But overall, this was a solid draft, in my opinion.
Yeah, you mentioned about the Jack Sawyer pick and you talking about those positions that they, you know, didn't address so much. Is that why you weren't a huge fan of the Sawyer pick? Did you think that they would have been better suited in that spot to go somewhere else in the fourth round?
Yeah, I would have. You know, I know a lot of people talk about how he was great value, and a lot of the big experts, you know, had him in the second or third round. I just turn on the Sawyer tape and I see, you know, a mid-day three player. This was any great value pick. You know, the Steelers' reasoning was to have a run-specific edge rusher. I just don't know how much I value that skill set in the modern NFL. I understand the Steelers got absolutely crunched on that, but I thought a lot of it was more schematic than personnel driven, to be quite honest with you, of why the Ravens were able to beat them up front like they did. I'm not sure, you know, how much of an impact a guy like that has. He's going to probably have, you know, I don't know, 8 to 12 snaps per game. I mean, Nick Herbig is a great pass rusher and certainly is a better pass rusher than Sawyer. I just think Sawyer's upside of the pass rusher is limited. I don't think he's an elite athlete. He's got a very hot motor. He's very strong. He's going to give you that run-specific thing. I'm just not sure that's where I would have attacked it when I had a need at slot corner. You know, receiver is a significant need past this year, not this year necessarily, but past this year, you have a significant need there. You could have even taken an offensive lineman, you know, if you wanted a guard or a tackle to prepare for next year, where say Amal is a free agent and obviously Broderick Jones is heading into a big year. You know, that would have been cool too. I think that they missed an opportunity to draft for the future there, because this isn't even a draft for the future, right? I mean, TJ Watt's not going anywhere. Alex Highsmith's probably not going anywhere. So the Sawyer pick isn't even like drafting for the future, just adding a strength to a strength. I just think that they could have done better. If Sawyer had been that second-round talent that fell to the fourth and they took him, I would be a little more forgiving for that. But in terms of what I saw on tape, you know, I didn't see that. I saw more of, you know, the late four, early five type player, way around where he went. And I just don't value that specific skill set as much as the Steelers did in that selection, in that core. So, yeah, that's kind of my big gripe with that pick overall, Jack.
Yeah, interesting. It's actually a perspective that makes a lot of sense that I haven't heard a whole lot of people talk about when it comes to Sawyer, you know, in the last week or so. We're talking to Nick Faribault, covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. Nick, let's kind of talk about actually, we'll go to Derek Harmon first. Obviously, he was the first-round pick. Where did you come down on that selection as opposed to all the people that wanted a quarterback in that spot, especially Shedeur Sanders? And now that Harmon is going to be a Steeler, how does he fit in and make an immediate impact in 2025?
Yeah, I mean, I love this pick. I think it's a great value pick plus a great fit. I don't think there was a better fit on the defensive line for them in this class than Derek Harmon. I like to sit better than Kenneth Grant. I like it better than Walter Nolan. They both went before the Steelers. I think they got the best fit for them anyways. So this was a great pick. He would have been the guy I would have picked if I had been picking on the board at 21. You know, if I saw the board the Steelers had and you told me who to pick, I would have picked Derek Harmon. I had the exact same thoughts they did. And he's going to step in here. He's going to be, you know, the base end opposite of Cam Hayward. Cam Ben's probably going to still stick at nose. And the cool thing about Harmon is, he's not one-dimensional. This isn't a guy that's coming in with strong run defense and needs to work on the pass rush or vice versa. He does both really well. He's a disruptive player. He led the country in pressures last year. He was second in pressure rate. In the run game, he really stands up against doubles. So he gives you that to the run defense while not really sacrificing your pass rush. He's just got a really high floor. I think that's the really cool thing about him. This is a high-floor player. You know, these are the types of players that typically go top 15. And because of the shoulder, I think maybe because of the deep D line draft, he fell a little further than you usually would see a defensive tackle like him. So he's a top 15 player in this class. So he fits in. He's a starter. He's going to give you instant juice in the pass rush. He's going to help you in the run game. So I love the Derek Harmon pick. Great character, of course. We've learned about that over the past week. But he's just a great character. He's going to be a great leader for them. He's the perfect guy to have be the mentee to Cam Hayward. So, yeah, I love this pick personally.
Do you think there's a situation, Nick, and you mentioned with Harmon being the end opposite of Hayward and Benton still being over the nose, but there's a lot of people that think if you move Benton, you know, outside, you can start to unlock things there. And because of Harmon's, you know, versatility and being able to play a bunch of positions up front, could you foresee a situation where maybe there are some base packages where Harmon lines up at nose and it's Benton at three technique and then other ones that are vice versa? Or is that maybe counterproductive?
I mean, I think in base, we're probably going to see them stick at the same spot. I think we're going to see Harmon at five or four eye and Benton mostly at the nose. Now, Benton's going to play most of his snaps anyways out of three tech. That's where he does. Usually he's really good in those sub packages. He's got a lot of pass rushes. I think people look at Keanu Benton's numbers and think he's not a great pass rusher, but you dive into the deeper numbers, the pressures, you dive into the tape. I mean, he just needs to finish. Like, that's the thing with him. He's a very good pass rusher. He creates disruption. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of mixing and matching in terms of techniques and things like that. I think Harmon's probably going to stick somewhere between 3 and 5. I think Benton's probably going to stick between 0 and 3, maybe to the 4-eye every now and then. And Cam's obviously going to do what Cam does. If there's injuries that arise, maybe, Jack, I think that you can easily pop Benton out there. I think Benton is probably more natural out there. And honestly, you know, you think years in the future when Cam Hayward, his contract runs out and Keanu Benton's a free agent, I could easily see them re-sign Benton and then pulling him and putting him out there. So that could be a later evolution. He certainly can do it. He's got that versatility to play up and down the line of scrimmage. But I don't expect that to be a big thing this year where they mix and match guys or throw Harmon at the nose. I don't think that's going to be a thing.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We're talking to Nick Faribault of PennLive.com. He covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. You can visit them at SouthHillsKia.net. All right, some positions that you had mentioned that you wish the Steelers would have addressed in the draft. Slot corner, maybe wide receiver, offensive line. I think that there are definite needs elsewhere as we kind of go through this offseason, especially since, you know, the Steelers are down a tackle. They didn't really sign a backup if Faltanu and Jones is left and right, and with Dan Moore gone, how do you think the Steelers will go about this offseason, maybe addressing a little bit more depth at tackle or maybe just more depth on the offensive line as we kind of approach some team activities here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to see them change that much to that group. I think there's a shot maybe and a veteran, you know, but I think that's more probably down the line. I'm talking training camp, maybe even on the waiver wire pickup, you know, right after the preseason. I think they're going to give guys like Calvin Anderson the ability to win that. I mean, Calvin Anderson got a 2-year deal. I mean, to me, that signifies he's probably going to be the swing tackle. They need interior depth. I think, you know, they have Ron McCollum, who's a pretty solid center. He'll probably also double as the backup guards, and they trust Spencer Anderson. I don't think they're going to do a ton there. You know, I think the door is going to be open for some of those young guys coming in, you know, like UDFAs and stuff. Those guys will have a shot at it. And if everything doesn't go well, they will probably execute some minor trade or pick someone up off the waiver wire before the season. We've seen them do it before, but I'm not sure we're going to see a ton of movement at the offensive line position. Maybe if they can find the right guy. I mean, there's a few players out there, you know, guys like Jedrick Wills, maybe that you could take a dart throw on, that I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But right now, I think they're probably going to stand pat at that, at least evaluate the OTAs, what they have there, before making a signing.
And as far as wide receiver is concerned, obviously the DK Metcalf trade took away their second round pick, but you know, there was a lot of buzz around George Pickens' name leading up to the draft. Do you think that the fact that he is still a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers post-draft means that the Steelers are planning on 2025 with George Pickens and all that brings with his contract situation and how he could potentially handle that situation?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they added some insurance at least with Robert Woods, but it's not much. You know, he's Robert Woods is pretty done. I mean, you watch the tape, it's not great. And so I think Pickens really is very likely to stay with Pittsburgh. I do. I mean, we could see obviously something crazy happens. He could go full Brandon Ayuk and that could change everything. I mean, that could happen. But until that happens, I think, you know, we go in to the summer thinking he is going to be a Steeler. You know, maybe you move him at the deadline if you're not good. Sure, that could happen. But right now, I think their plan is to have those two be those two. And I think there's going to be a battle in the slot between Woods at Austin and Wilson, with Austin having that advantage, to be quite honest with you. So I don't think this receiver room is going to have much movement. If everything goes to plan, I mean, I think your two starting receivers on the outside are going to be Metcalf and Pickens. I think your guy in the slot's probably going to be Austin. And I think you're going to mix in Roman Wilson and Robert Woods there. It's kind of depending on what your personnel is, your game plan is. Woods is going to be a guy that's going to be your consummate professional. He'll be able to mentor guys. I mean, he's going to block behind. I think that really sticks out about Robert Woods. He's basically Van Jefferson, but he actually can block. So that'll be nice to actually have a guy in the run game and at wide receiver that can dig out safeties and be reliable doing it. So the Steelers will have some insurance there if they have injuries, but I'm not expecting George Pickens to really go anywhere, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and Woods also adds a little bit more of a veteran presence as well, which is never really a bad thing. We're talking to Nick Faribault, covers the Steelers for PennLive.com. You can follow him on X at FaribaultFB, and you can read him in PennLive.com. With the exception of quarterback, because obviously I think a lot of fans are upset with the way that that's been handled in the offseason and the whole Aaron Rodgers saga, Nick. If we take quarterback out of this question and we look at what position group might have the biggest holes right now, is cornerback up there for you? And if it is, does a lot of it have to do with maybe, you know, Darius Slay being cornerback two right now, and history doesn't really bode well for cornerbacks that get in to their mid-30s, and, you know, that is never more true with Patrick Peterson, who we saw in a Steeler uniform a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think corner is definitely up there. I think slot corner specifically is up there. I mean, listen, Beanie Bishop got benched for Cam Sutton. If he's getting benched for Cam Sutton, you know, I think you have to kind of temper the confidence you have there. And I thought he had some good flashes, but that's a big question. I mean, it's going to be the battle's probably going to be between him, Dante Kent, who was their seventh rounder, UDFA Sebastian Castro, who actually, like, I like Sebastian Castro. He's probably the name I'd watch the most out of the UDFA group to potentially make a roster push. And then there's Deshaun Jameson as well, who was one of those future signings at the end of January. So it's just not a lush room right now. You know, Brandon Echols, I've seen some people throw in there as potentially having a shot there. He has 150 career snaps in the slot. I suppose he could be in that room. I'm not really expecting it, but we'll see. So corner's up there, but specifically slot corner. They just have not taken the slot corner position seriously enough. I think O-line depth, you know, we talked about that a little earlier. I think it's a little shoddy. I'm a little worried about the O-line depth if they get some injuries. So that's something I think they should at least look to explore and strengthen. I think those are the two biggest question marks on this team right now, to be quite honest with you, would be offensive line depth and corner, slot corner, though, specifically. I think outside, they're okay. I mean, they have Echols, they have Pierre, they have Trice. I think the outside corner depth's okay. And I think, you know, Slay, for what he was doing last year, Slay played at a really high level. He's going to have to really fall off hard to not be better than Dante Jackson, to be quite honest with you. So I think that Slay's going to be just fine. I think the slot's more of a concern.
Well, there you have it. Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. One last question I'll leave you with, Nick. It has to do with the UDFAs. You talked about Sebastian Castro. If you want to throw out a couple of guys elsewhere, you know, in that crop that you like, and if Ben Sauls isn't one of them, man, I'm going to be upset.
I mean, I like Ben Sauls, but I mean, what path to the roster?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, my thing with Sauls is, I mean, you know, you bring him in here, you know, they typically have an extra leg in camp, and if he's available, like, he's obviously used to kicking in the Steelers stadium, so that's just a bonus.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think Sauls is, like, interesting just because, I mean, if he's really good, maybe the Steelers could trade him for a late draft pick. That's an interesting thought. Here's a few guys, though, I really like from this UDFA class. We talked about Castro. He's a really good nickel for Iowa. To be quite honest with you, drafted. He should have been drafted. So he's a guy I think that can make a real roster push. Whether that's special teams, he can play safety. He can play slot corner. He's a good player. I like him a lot. Dick Galbraith from South Dakota. This guy's a tight end. He's super athletic. He's a really interesting move piece tight end. I think that's an interesting play. DJ Thomas Jones is a fun player too, out of South Alabama. He's a true fullback, Jack. I don't know if the Steelers are going to look to roster a fullback, but they gave Thomas Jones the highest guarantee of any non-quarterback PFA in team history. So they see something in him. He's probably a sleeper candidate to make the team too. And then the other guy I would throw out is Aiden Williams. We're talking about those UDFA linemen. He's got a shot. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He's really athletic. So he's a guy to watch too. But those are the UDFAs to watch out for. But the guy I'd watch for the most, Sebastian Castro. I mean, listen, the Steelers started last year with the UDFA as their starting slot corner. I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah, absolutely. And if the fullback is anything, who was the fullback a couple of years ago that everybody fell in love with that they thought should have been on the team?
Are you talking about Monty Potterball?
Yes. Because he was a fullback, I feel like this fan base fell in love with him. So they'll probably fall in love with this guy as well. I appreciate you, man. As always, Nick Faribault, PennLive.com. Read him in PennLive.com covering the Steelers. Follow him on X at Faribault FB. I'll talk to you soon, my man. Thanks again.
All right, Jack. Thanks for having me on, brother.
There he goes, Nick Faribault from PennLive.com. Yeah, do you remember Monty Potterbaum, Joel? I think he had a mullet, which I think probably sparked the infatuation from a Steelers standpoint with that guy.
Yeah, the mullet, and then he went to Iowa, right? I'm pretty sure he went to Iowa because I know, you know, the Steelers, obviously, they made a couple splashes with the Iowa Hawkeyes this year. Caleb Johnson.
He did go to Iowa.
They like their...
The mullet on this guy was incredible.
It's almost as if he played at, South Carolina State, I think. Half the team has Mohawks or the mullets or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I think he ended up... Did he medically retire? I think he had to... He didn't even make it to cuts in training camp. I think he had to medically retire from football, and unfortunately for the Steelers' sake, late round pick last year, Ryan Watts from Texas, had to medically retire as well, which just obviously sucks for a young guy trying to carve a path for himself in the National Football League. I'm not necessarily sure how immediate that would have been, you know, from a Steelers success standpoint, but you know, for a guy that's you want to root for to try and make good, man, I mean, that just obviously is very unfortunate for Ryan Watts, and then obviously it happened to Potterbaum as well. Again, you can check out Nick Faribault on X at Faribault FB, and then read him at PennLive.com. He does a tremendous job breaking down everything Steelers from, you know, what's going on a week-to-week basis in the locker room to, you know, breaking down film and stuff. Well, Nick is as good as it gets. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Nick joined us on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You could join us on that Sullivan Super Service fan hotline at 412-928-9370. What do you like? What don't you like about this Steelers draft class? 412-928-9370. And do you think Will Howard is the second coming of a franchise quarterback for the Steelers, like some people think so? 412-928-9370. We'll take your phone calls on the Steelers coming up in the next segment, as well as my individual thoughts on the Steelers draft class and where I could see these guys making an impact in 2025. We're taking you up until 10:35. Nightly Sports Call with Malzie and Richie Walsh. I'm Jack Hillgrove on the Fan Evening Show.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.